Good Monday to you. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports, the BJ's Restaurant and Brew House Lunch Hour, 866-987-2570. Your best 30-second take gets a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. Mondays, half-off large pizza, $5 Brew House margaritas. What a weekend it was for the Dodgers. Started slowly because they couldn't hit. And it was funny, Rodney, after that first game, people were calling the show and going, well, now we've got a problem.
Yeah,
Dave Roberts should have done this. Andrew Friedman should have done that. Now we've got problems.
Yeah, and it was Kershaw on opening day that lost. It's like, oh my goodness, he lost on opening day. Sky's falling, Fred.
Yeah, well, it's not falling at all. It took him two games. Our bats woke up. Let's do a little Dodger science. You ready?
Let's do it.
Science!
Dodgers pitching allowed a total of two runs in the four games this weekend.
Science!
And those Dodgers starters only allowed just one run in 25 innings for an ERA of 0.38.
Science!
The bullpen had an ERA of 0.82 in their 11 innings pitched.
Science!
Alex Wood had the best start of the series, allowing just one infield single in his 8 innings of work.
Science!
I think after four games, this is the conclusion I drew. The Dodgers are going to be as good as we think, and the Giants are going to be as bad as I think they'll be. I absolutely believe
that. The Giants are going to be as bad or not as bad?
No, as bad.
Oh, you didn't give the no hope on opening day, but well, you're giving it now?
No, I'm not giving no hope. I'm giving not a lot of hope.
Well, bad. I mean, they were horrible last year, Fred. What are you trying to say?
What I'm saying is they made a lot of moves during the offseason. And it's funny, if you look at the opening weekend of Major League Baseball, all of the bats seem to be behind the pitching.
Yeah.
That's the observation I took away from it. Nobody, I mean, some guys hit the ball well, but overall, the pitching was ahead of the hitting. We saw that here for the first two games, and we certainly saw it with the Giants. I mean, they couldn't hit a lick. They couldn't touch Dodger pitching.
Yeah. Poor McCutchen and Longoria, they just, I don't even think they still don't have a hit, but they struggled all weekend. And some of those new acquisitions. But I think for the Giants, a lot had to do with, you know, the injury to Baumgartner obviously was a blow to them. He was supposed to start the season against Kershaw. You know, he's out for a minute. Smarja's out. So it's going to hurt them a little bit. But I see the Giants being a threat. I really do. I see them coming off of a bad season last year. I think they will be improved. I think McCutchen will get it going. I think Longoria will get it going and benefit that team. So I don't see the Giants as you do. And then you throw in Arizona and Colorado. I think it's, I think the West is going to be a very tough division.
I'll tell you a guy that's going to benefit from the playing time, Kike Hernandez. Over the weekend, 3-for-9, led the team in doubles with 2, RBI 3, walked twice. His quote of the weekend, as we all know, I'm the captain of the slug club. Funny line.
He is, right? I love it. His personality. That's the, you know, part of the real good thing about this team is, and we were down there on opening day, just seeing how loose they are, how much they enjoy each other's company. They play together as a team. You know, it feels like a really good locker room and clubhouse to be a part of.
Also, I think we have to acknowledge Yasiel Puig. I think we just have to take a second here and acknowledge Puig. He had a very Puig game last night, for example. Got his first base hits of the season. He went 3-for-4. Held Posey to third base on a two-run double early in the game, preserving the shutout. Made a base-running mistake, allowing the Dodgers to score their first run. Tagged up from first in a fly ball to left, got into a pickle, and was safe at first. Well, Puig is being Puig.
That's Puig. That's what we expect every night from Puig, right? Something good, something little, and then good again. But I got to tell you something. You know, for him last night, it was great coming out. Great that he got the hits and kind of got that off his back. But, you know, there's much talk about him not winning the Gold Glove, which I think he should have. But, you know, the plays that he makes that don't show up, like you just mentioned, keeping Buster Posey on third base, just by him picking up the ball and the base coach, third base coach, seeing him have the ball in hand, he held Posey up at third base. It's plays like that that happen over and over again because guys don't want to run on Yasiel Puig. They don't challenge him. They don't go from first to third. They don't go from second to home if it's anything close. And those don't necessarily show up, but it's a huge difference. Think about the runs he saves by just playing the defense and having the arm that he has.
So I guess our BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse lunch hour question today on this Monday at 866-987-2570. Now you've seen four games. Okay, this guy did not fall. Everything is fine. We were not all decimated by a giant rock coming out of the clouds and killing us. Everything is fine. They're 2-2, and they're on the road now. Give us your impressions of the first series of the season. Give us your impressions. Tell us, okay, now I've seen four games. I'm okay. I'm fine. I know things were not going well early, but I'm fine. No reason to panic with Joe Panic. It's all okay.
No panic with Joe Panic.
Right.
He did go deep.
Yeah, he did twice.
Yes.
Yeah. He beat him 1-0 opening night. He beat him 1-0 the second game. But what are your impressions now? Are you all right? Are you okay? Do we have to talk you off the ledge? Everything all right now? If we need to, this is the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse lunch hour question at 866-987-2570. Impressions.
Impressions. And for you, Fred, what do you have any concerns coming off the weekend?
None.
None at all?
None. I'm glad they started to hit.
Yeah.
I'm also really glad that Cody Bellinger got that home run.
Yeah.
See, because my concern...
First one as a team home run, right?
Right.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, but my concern about Bellinger, and, you know, I'm a huge fan, but my concern is that sophomore slump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's seen him now. And the thing about last year, if you remember what Cody did, he started out and he was on fire. Pitching adjusted to him. Okay. Mm-hmm. There was a little lull there.
Well, it took a long time for him to get that first hit.
Right.
And then he went on fire, yeah.
Right, but then the pitching adjusted.
Yeah.
He went to a little lull. But then he adjusted.
Right.
Okay, then he got hot again. Then the pitching adjusted. Because we know, really, it's a game of, all right, we've seen you, you've seen us. We've seen you, you've seen us. And I was concerned coming into the season. Now they have a lot of tape on him.
Yeah.
Now they do know how to pitch him. And I was concerned that he might struggle a little bit. I was really happy to see him hit that home run.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. An opening series, they hit the home run. It had to feel good for him because that's what he's been hearing all offseason. Can he duplicate what he did his rookie year? And will that be the same? Or was that a fluke? Or whatever that was, you know, you hear those type of things as a player. People talk about him every time he does an interview. Are you worried about the sophomore slump? All those type of things. So for him to kind of break out and get a home run out of the way in the opening series was good for him. But you mentioned adjustments, and he did great last year with those adjustments during the course of a season because that's what we talked about. Sooner or later, pitching second time around, they're going to come up and catch up to him.
They'll get you.
And they'll get you. And he went into a little lull, but he adjusted. He came back, and then the pitchers adjusted again. Now that they have a full year of tape on him, this is going to be the real Cody Bellinger that we see this year, I think. This is going to be the true blue player that everybody thinks is as good as we hope he is because they do have that full year and he settled in a little bit more. So I'm looking forward to this season. I don't think there's going to be a sophomore slump. And maybe, you know, I think he's got a lot to prove coming off last year, but you can't get enamored and the sky cannot fall if he doesn't have the same kind of year as he did last year.
Also, my overall impression, Dodger pitching was just spectacular. No one can argue that fact. And you know, you're going to win with pitching. And during the offseason, a number of people in this very city said, play
the name game.
Make sure you sign Yu Darvish. You got to sign Yu Darvish. The Cubs are doing it. They paid this guy $20 million a year. That's how good he is. After one game, his ERA is 10. His ERA is 10. After his initial start. I guess he's still tipping those pitches there, huh?
Ooh.
What do you think?
Ooh.
What do you think?
To Miami. It was Miami thing. It was a Miami thing.
Miami?
Yes.
Yeah,
Miami.
Mean, you have to add that,
right.
It was Miami's offense.
Yes, it was. Yes.
A Triple-A team. He was like pitching in the backfields in spring training against Miami.
Yeah.
His ERA is 10.
And by the way, the Cubs starting pitching looked awful this weekend, so that was encouraging.
Yeah, well, you know, the Cubs are going to win it all. I'll tell you, that's not an effective way to do things. They paid Jason Hayward $168 million a couple of years ago. You just cannot throw bucket loads of money at people and think, well, we're going to play
the name game.
And, Al, I've heard of this guy. Let's go get him. Let's go sign him. His ERA is 10 after one start. Now, granted, everybody gets a bad game, but none of the four Dodger starters got a bad game. And if the Dodgers had re-signed him,
he'd been in that rotation.
He would have pitched the second game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting.
You know what I say? There you go. There you go.
By the way, I think you know who's happy right now is Matt Money Smith. We were able to get science and the name game in the same segment.
The two things he hates more.
He's got to be
anything.
He's got to be loving it.
Ecstatic driving in.
Oh, Matt Money Smith. He'll let us hear it, too.
Yankees play that name game, and I think they're happy with that name game.
Well, that's fine, but the name was Stanton.
That's true.
The name was Giancarlo Stanton.
That's true. MVP.
Yeah, there's a little difference. You know, that's a different division of the name game.
Good point, Fred.
All right, let's find out. Let's get your opening impressions of the Dodger weekend. We'll take two now, and we'll start sprinkling the rest in throughout the hour. Your best 30-second take, $100 gift card, BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. Let's go. Evan in downtown L.A., you're on AM 570 L.A. Sports. Go ahead.
I think as fans, we should all be really excited about this upcoming season. Our pitching's doing exactly what they did last year. The addition of Matt Kemp, I think that only makes our lineup deeper. We've got a lot of people that can hit 20-plus home runs in the top five in the order. I just think that this was a great first weekend of Dodger baseball, and I'm really excited to see what we have in store.
All right. Appreciate it, Evan. Let's go Tommy in East L.A. Go ahead.
It's weird. Your microphone don't work. You'll have to take it out.
Oh,
I hung.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
What in the world?
Hello?
Hello.
Go.
Oh, this is Tommy from Los Angeles.
Yeah, we know that. We already said that.
Okay, I was the guy that called.
Well, hold on. Tommy, let's start again. You ready?
Tommy, you disheveled. Are you good? Are you good now?
You got the microphone right?
I'm great. Okay, so you know what? I was the guy that called in the other day. I was on semi-panic attack with Kershaw. But I'm going to tell you right now, I love the Dodgers. We're going to kick some ass. I'm going to tell you right now, Puig is the monster. We're going to do very well. And you know what? The bottom line here was the Yul Darvish thing. You know what I call him to my buddies? No Bulls Darvish. Okay, bye.
All right.
What was Tommy doing?
Tommy needs to get medicated. Tommy was hyperventilating.
I was that guy calling in. Oh, my God, Tommy.
All right, but thanks for owning it, Tommy. We appreciate that. We'll sprinkle the calls in. Impressions. Opening weekend of the Dodgers season. 866-987-2570. Over 140 menu items and 50 craft beers at BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. You will get a $100 gift card if you dazzle us. When we come back, Ned Coletti will join us. We'll get his thoughts. And later on, around 12:30, you're going to be the smartest person in the room. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete. Real or fake will make you the smartest person in the room. That's coming up at 12:30. BJ's Restaurant and Brew House lunch hour question. Overall impressions. First weekend of the Dodgers. By the way, make sure you're ready to speak. We don't want anybody dying on the air.
Puig is the monster. We're going to do very well.
Tommy, I hope Tommy's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Tommy. Mitch and Tarzana, come on. You're on AM 570 LA Sports.
Great weekend. How you doing? I think pitching was great. I wish they could afford to sign Cobb. I think he would have been better. Glad he didn't take you. And I'm a little worried about Seager. A little worried about him because he should be batting 30. He's their best hitter.
Mitch, where are you from? You're not from here.
I'm really from Staten Island, New York.
Yeah, we can tell.
Yeah.
You know why we can tell?
My accent, right?
Yeah, and we couldn't understand a lot of it.
Oh, God. Let me go through it again.
No. You made your point. You made your point, Mitch. Thanks, and we appreciate you listening. We know you listen every day. Okay, Ben in Sherman Oaks, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
It's our pleasure, Ben. It's our pleasure.
Go right now. Go!
Listen, we were two pitches from throwing four shutouts, and that giant lineup with the additions of McCutchen and Longoria, that is not chopped liver. We shut out for four games, damn near. And Puig is about in the sixth season now, 27. The best years are 26 to 32 for an athlete. He's comfortable with Roberts.
Too long, Ben. But a good take. Why is it today that everybody sounds like, or at least the last two callers, they should be eating at a deli?
It's not chopped liver.
Give me a pastrami on rye.
Larry King, is a caller there?
All right, let's put a grand in your hand. Come on.
And remember, if you text, answer the phone. Somebody's going to call you to try to put a grand in your hand, and the only way to win is if you answer the phone.
All right. Speaking of chopped liver. Here's a guy that's never been accused of being chopped liver. It's our buddy Ned Colletti. Ned, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, guys.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing. It took the Dodgers a while to start hitting, but this weekend they did one thing very well, and that was pitch.
Oh, boy. They were tremendous. Everybody was concerned that they lost the first two games, but pitching and defense is going to what gets you to the promised land, and they have pitched tremendous.
Hey, now, I don't know if I've seen a better pitched weekend than on opening weekend, and what I saw for the four games against the Giants by the Dodgers. How about you?
You know what? That's a great point. And if I have, it's been in a cold weather city. You're talking about decent weather, and still they give up two runs in four games. I don't remember seeing that. If I did, though, it was in a place that had a hard time playing the game because of the conditions. But they pitched great, and they played well. You get the couple errors on the second night, but really the execution that they had throughout the series, I thought, was excellent. And you look at comparison to San Francisco, who really struggled to just even execute yesterday. You saw it the night before in some plays in the outfield. So you see the difference between a team that won 104 and a team that lost 98.
No, absolutely. On that pitching note, Ned, have you seen anyone lose more 1-0 games or 2-1 games than Kershaw? It's unbelievable.
You know what? I'm a very old man, and I remember back in maybe 68 or 69 growing up in Chicago, I think Ferguson Jenkins lost five 1-0 games in a season and still ended up winning 20. So I've seen it before. Sometimes when you have the best in the business, sometimes that's what does happen. But I'm sure he'll get plenty of run support this season, especially if the pitching is as thin throughout the league as it appears it may be.
You know, as a guy that has sat in the chair, you understand if the team loses one or two games, the sky is falling, the season is shot, and we might as well pack it up, make a change, and move toward next year. But, right, I mean, that's how fans are. That's how they react. I mean, they lost those first two games, and that was the end of it. I mean, I honest to God thought, all right, that's it. We'll see you next season. But What was it? Why did it take the Dodgers a couple of games to wake up offensively?
Well, you know, it's sports. It's how it goes sometimes. I was on with David Basse on Dodger Talk, and so I heard a little bit of it. And, of course, we do the Spectrum Sportsnet LA pre and post. And so, you know, you think about it a little bit. But, look, this is such a long season, and there's so many different things. And people are, I guess, always afraid of losing the good thing. The people here who root for the Dodgers, they have a very good thing going on right now. That's a great team. They're going to be fine. And you know what? Sometimes it takes you a little while to get situated. Look at San Francisco. They just got McCutchen. They got Jackson. They got Longoria. They scored two runs, both on home runs by one guy. So, you know what? It's not that easy. It's not that easy. Rodney knows it's not that easy to produce and win all the time, but it's a good team. I tell you what, they're going to be in a good spot.
You know, you mentioned McCutchen. I have to tell you, he looked incredibly uncomfortable to me in right field. Did you get the same sense?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I don't know him. I really respected him in Pittsburgh, where he was really kind of the face of that franchise and was really game for every opportunity. I don't know. It looked, and this is a tough thing to say, but it looked like it was like the end of September, and there were 30 games out sometimes. And, you know, they still have a long way to go. They haven't even played a home game yet. So, you know, it was a little bit of a different look, and he hasn't got a hit yet, I don't think. Neither has Longoria. I think they may go back home after this, but you know, they're not my concern. The Dodgers are my concern, and I'm just glad we are who we are, who they are, and if they play how they play.
Yeah, back on the hitting, you mentioned it, Ned. It's a long season, and it doesn't always go the way spring training goes. I remember times when we win all four preseason games and start out 0-5, you know, and thinking we were pretty good to start the season and struggle. So it happens in different ways. But how much do you think Justin Turner being out of the lineup messes with the chemistry of everyone else?
I think it does matter. Whenever you take talent out of any situation, you have to figure out a way to replace some percentage of it. And I think it does put a little bit of different pressure on some of the other hitters. But as I think back to last year's club, one of the really positive aspects, I thought, of last year's team is there was no one person everybody looked to bail them out of a tough spot or to carry them through a tough spot. I think they have such a solid group that it doesn't – you lose one play. You lost JT last year for a while. You've lost Kershaw the last 2 years. They still won 104 games. You lost JT for, I think, 3 weeks, and you lost Clayton for a while last year, and the team won 104 games. It's just that type of group. It does put different pressures on different people, but again, it's so widespread. You look at the lineup. Take JT out of it. No doubt you'd much rather have him in there. But were you suffering because of it? You still got Bellinger. You still got Seager. You still got Yasiel, who had a really good game last night. Bellinger homers last night. Chris Taylor. I mean, the depth is so strong, and I think that's what they've built. And I think that you can, you know, you're going to get hurt. You know, you're going to have some guys that they're going to have a tough time replacing. But on this club, it's probably the best organized group I've seen as far as having depth and having people who step up and don't feel that pressure that they have to carry the day.
You talk about Yasiel and the game he had last night, and it's funny. Sometimes he can take chicken you-know-what and turn it into chicken salad. In that base-running play where, he was kind of off, but then he was back, and that actually led to a run. Sometimes it looks like that guy is just sprinkled with gold dust.
Well, not always. We've seen other times.
No, I'm saying sometimes, Ned. Sometimes. Not always.
Well, you know what? The speed, even speed going back to where you came from, can sometimes put the defense in a tough spot, and that's what happened with Panic last night. Look at that game. That game, the Giants had a few different opportunities to score some runs and didn't capitalize. The way their lineup, you kept coming up, and it was Stratton hitting. And so the Dodgers kept it scoreless, and then they score a run the way they did, where they really had Puig hung out to dry, and he should have been either thrown out or they should have at least had first and third if he's able to scamper back. Seager does not score on that play if you execute that play the right way. But, you know, it didn't happen for San Francisco. And I think in Yasiel's case, it's going to be some ebb and flow, but he's been far better the last year and four games than he was, in my mind, going back to really when he first came up. That was kind of a surprise when he first came up. As people adjusted, we saw the game come back a little bit to the middle of the pack. I think he's in tune for another year. One other thing about baseball that I think is different than any other sport we have is I think about it every day. You think about it every day. The fans think about it every day. You evaluate it every day. And I think the toughest thing to do, one of the toughest things to do in that sport at any level, including the big chair or whoever it is to evaluate it in small increments because you can rush the judgment because you just saw four games. Four games. That's not even 1% of your season. So, you got so much more to go. Evaluating every day can be dangerous, but hey, that's what we all do.
Yeah, and with Puig, isn't it that Dave Roberts and his staff have kind of, they don't make a big deal out of plays like that anymore because they know they're going to get something better on the other side. So they've been able to take the good and the bad with him, especially after the season came off of last year.
I think what they've really done masterfully as well is the accountability with somebody like Yasiel. He knows he messed up, and he knows that he can't continue to do that. He got away with it last night, but he knows he can't continue to do it because of the way they've set up the accountability system, in my opinion. He knows that's not and people are, maybe came back to the dugout. Maybe it was just a quick glance from Dave Roberts, just a, hey, one of those, And And that keeps people as good as can be. And my way of looking at it, there's two things your manager and your coaches need to do. Even at this level, they need to teach and they need to hold people accountable. And when you have that combination, you've got a chance to get the most out of everybody who's in a uniform.
Well, we got the most out of you today, Ned, and we appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Back at you. Soon. Oh, sorry, Ned, back at you. Thanks. There he goes, Ned Coletti.
He's the guy.
He is the guy, and we appreciate him jumping on today. In a moment, we will determine if you are the smartest person in the room, but now a man with incredible intellect, Vic Jacobs.
You are deluded, Frey. We love that about you.
Come on, Vic.
Come on, Vic.
Let's do it, Vic.
Mm. Vic, give me one real quick.
Come on now.
All right. Okay, now it is time.
Yeah.
To make somebody the smartest person in the room. We will determine.
Is it real?
They're yes. real, uh-huh. and they're spectacular.
Or fake news.
Fake.
Joining us today to compete in Real or Fake, Jake Zimmerman. Granted, no one here knows who Jake Zimmerman is, but he is the boyfriend of Lindsay from Sales.
Yeah.
Jake, thank you for being here.
Lindsay lost
thank
so
you.
Bad. Lindsay lost so bad last time she had to bring in reinforcements. You know what I'm saying, Vic?
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it
Whatever
takes.
It takes.
Come on now.
Come here.
Come on, Jake. Come
you
on,
go, Jake.
Come on
you
now.
Go, Jake.
Let's rock and roll.
He's ready. He's ready.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, he's not messing around. Jake, good luck.
Thank you.
Josh Hart and Rob Pelinka have a wager on tonight's NCAA title game. Laker forward Josh Hart attended Villanova. Laker GM Rob Pelinka went to Michigan. Lakers Nation reported this morning that the two men have a wager on the game tonight. If Michigan wins, Hart cannot play Fortnite for 2 weeks. If Villanova wins, Hart gets to use Pelinka's hands-free Tesla for 2 weeks. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Oh, man, it sounds interesting. Nobody wants to just bet $100 anymore, just money. It's got to be something that really you can feel. And we know Fortnite with NBA players is such a big deal. So I'm going to go with, driving somebody's Tesla. Both these guys believe in their teams and their school. So I'm going to go real.
Real.
I'm going to go real.
Jake Zimmerman, real or fake?
I'm saying that's real, too. Fortnite's a big game nowadays. So I can see Mr. Hart doing that.
So you actually think they'd make that bet?
Yeah, that's real.
Okay, well, I tried to help you.
It's all fake news.
Oh,
it's phony stuff.
No. Really? Fake. It sounded like a real bet, though. I can see that happening.
That was good, Jason. Okay, here we go. We're tied.
Jason didn't come up with that.
Well, who do you think came up with it?
I don't know. Kevin Figures. Tim Cates.
What are you giving us?
Sam, the Michigan man.
Tim's in there giving us like some sort of weird eye.
I know
too.
He is. Well,
and I am the game maker.
Okay.
I take the fall when this segment sucks, and I'll take the credit when it's good.
Oh.
All right. Now Sam just jumped in and peered at us too.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be left out. All right.
If they could see Sam right now, people would maybe throw up.
I think we tweeted that out.
Yeah.
Phillies manager Gabe Kapler tries to make pitching change without reliever ready. Rookie Phillies manager attempted to make a pitching change in the third inning Saturday as his starter was laboring. There was one problem. No reliever was ready in the Phillies bullpen. After getting to the mound and calling for reliever Hobie Milner, Kapler was made aware the left-hander wasn't ready to enter the game. Jake, is that real or fake?
There's too much evidence in that it's got to be real. There's a lot of detail there. I'm going to say that's real.
Okay, but you should know this. Every one of these has a lot of detail. You can keep it real if you want. I'm just saying, every one of them has a lot of detail.
I'm going to keep it real, Fred.
Keep it real. Rodney.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe that happens with so much going on, so many coaches. How do you not have your reliever ready? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. But it is opening weekend, and a lot of strange things happen. So, yeah, I'm going to go real. I'm going to go real. That happened.
It's real, boy. It's real. It's real, boy. It's real.
And a footnote, the reason that Kapler did not have the reliever ready is he was out tanning his testicles.
No.
Yeah.
Stop it.
What
Fred, where is that coming from, Fred?
Wait a minute. Don't you understand? He has a whole website about that.
Yes, I know that.
So I think that's
but
what
during
he was
the
doing.
Game?
I think that's what was happening. I'm just saying, I heard that.
Shut.
He actually does that.
Isn't he lathering with coconut oil?
Yeah, yeah, coconut oil.
Right, he was lathering up.
No, he's Meshug. He's Meshug.
It's really bad that it's really bad that we know all these.
Dig that about Kapler. He's radical, and I dig that.
He is radical.
You like that, Vic?
Oh yeah.
Victor Oladipo credits Diet Mountain Dew. The Clippers lost a 16-point lead against Indiana in large part to Pacers guard Victor Oladipo's 30 points and 12 assists. Oladipo gave credit to a soft drink for his play, saying, "My energy before the game was low, so I had a Diet Mountain Dew. That helped a lot." Rodney, is that real or fake?
Hence the Mountain Dew commercial coming up with Victor Oladipo in the offseason. Yeah, that's true.
That's real.
Yeah, that's real.
Jake.
Not before a game. I'm going to say no.
You're saying fake.
That's fake news.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Oh, no. I'm behind.
Yep, Jake's got the lead. Hang in there, Jake.
Yes, sir.
Kobe Bryant and Yasiel Puig buy a helicopter together. Kobe Bryant and Yasiel Puig have gone in on a purchase together of a Robinson R-44 Raven, also known as the world's most popular helicopter. The price of the luxury travel item is about $400,000. They also bought a landing pad 5 minutes from Dodger Stadium so Puig can use it for games. Now, we know Kobe had a helicopter. Did they go in together? Jake, is that real or fake?
I'm going to go fake news on that one.
You're going fake. Okay. Says no, they're not going in together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did have a lot of details, Jake.
Yeah. Why does Kobe need to go in with someone? You know, the mama's got his own thing going. Who's going to put the logo on? Is it going to be a wild horse or is it going to be a mamba on the helicopter?
Good point.
Just because I got to get back in the game, I'm going real.
You just gave every reason why it was fake.
Hey, it's like going for it. When you're down two strokes, you can't lay up. You got to go for it.
Oh, back in the game.
That's crazy, though. Why?
I don't know. But I like that Puig's flying in.
I know. That's good.
Arizona Coyotes announced hiring of Charles Barkley. The Arizona Coyotes, the hockey team, announced Sunday that they had hired Charles Barkley as a special advisor to general manager John Chaika. Barkley said this in a press release. "At first, I thought this idea was just terrible. But after giving it some more special thought, I think this could be something really special." Rodney, is that real or fake?
Oh, my God. It's Charles Barkley, so anything is possible. But a hockey team?
Hockey team. Played for the Suns.
Yeah, he did. He lives in Phoenix, too. So,
loves it there. Knows everybody.
Knows everybody. He's, maybe they need attendance.
Sure. They do.
I'm still going to go fake.
You're going fake.
Yeah,
right?
I can't buy that.
That's it. Jake, go ahead.
Fred, did he say it was a terrible idea or a terrible idea?
Ah, look at Jake. Look at Jake playing the game. Look at him. Look at him.
Yeah, it's fake news.
Fake news.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Good job, Jake.
And let the record show, by the way, the Coyotes tweeted that out yesterday. It was an actual April Fool's joke.
Oh,
but fake news.
Oh, look at you. What are we, tied?
Yep, last one. Good
Here
luck.
Here we go.
Little Caesars is buying lunch for everybody today. Little Caesars restaurants across the country are making good on their promise of free pizza for lunch today. Little Caesars promised that if any number 16 seed beat a number 1 seed in this year's NCAA men's basketball tournament, they would give up the free pizza across the country. Jake, for the win. Is it real or fake?
That's real.
Rodney, to tie Jake today, is that real or fake?
Jake said real.
He said real.
See, I don't play to tie. I play to win, baby.
All right.
I play to win. So I'm going fake. I'm going fake on that one.
Jake.
It's real, boy.
Congratulations.
I knew that one, man.
Who wants to tie? Way to go, Jake.
Way to go, Jake.
Look at you. Look at
thank
Lindsay.
Thank you.
Lindsay's smiling ear to ear.
Oh, Lindsay's so proud. This doesn't happen very often.
The house has redeemed itself. I love it.
Way to go, Jake. Thanks for coming in, Jake. When we come back, the Zlatan. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, how do you say it, Vic? Zlatan, Zlatan, Zoltan?
I call him the special Z, but Zlatan.
The Zlatan is here. And he probably had the highlight of the weekend. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete. All right. Oh, we'll award BJ's here in a couple of seconds. We'll do one more real quick. Come on, Juan. Juan and Downey, you've been holding. You're on AM 570 LA Sports.
Hey, I see it like this. Roberts has the best team any coaching staff will want. You have pitch. You have starting pitchers that can be in the bullpen, bullpen pitchers that can be starters. You have infields that can be outfielders, outfielders that can be infielders. Every player is a multiple player. We're not worried. We lose a player. It's okay. We have a guy in the bench that can do what the starter did while he was starting. I'm out, guys. Dodgers will win the World Series this year. We're going all the way, baby.
All right. Appreciate it, Juan. We'll award BJ's here in a couple of seconds. Look. Everybody was focused on the Dodgers this weekend. Ohtani, who we'll talk about coming up at 1 o'clock, won for the Angels. Maybe he was playing a little possum during the spring. A
little bit, Fred.
But really, the highlight. The highlight comes from soccer. Zlatan Ibrahimovic is
in town. Well.
Thank you. Now, you know, he's the guy. He played in Europe. He comes over here. He's a big sign, big name signing. Got off a plane, went there, basically. And started playing.
Yeah. Didn't he take out a full-page ad? Right? Said,
you're welcome. Right. In other words, I'm here. I'm here to save you. You're welcome. And we all kind of chuckled at that. So anyway, he goes into the game yesterday, like with 5-6 minutes left in the game, right? Maybe? Or the 76th minute. That was it. He goes into the 76th minute. And they're down. He's in the game 2 minutes. 2 minutes. And there's a ball that bounces it 38 yards out. It could have been 138 yards out. It doesn't matter. And it's like chest high.
Yeah.
So this is how high this ball bounces. And he's way in the midfield area. They're playing LAFC. They're now crosstown rival. Listen to this call.
Tomorrow throwing his body in. It's going to fall for Ibrahimovic. Welcome to Major League Soccer. Take a bow. Sensational.
All right, take a bow. Sensational. What was great about it? I can't remember this happening. But what was great about it? So he scores. I guess he thinks he's playing for Manchester United. I don't know what he's thinking. He rips his jersey off. So he's running around with no shirt on, celebrating, and everybody is running around to jump on him. I mean, honestly, if you haven't seen it, you have to see it because it was absolutely hilarious.
Oh, and the call. Come on. Come on. I love it. I can't think. I mean, I'm trying to think, and we were talking about this before the show, of a better debut in L.A.
Now, who would it have been? Who could it have been? I'll tell you one thing. I think it's the only debut in L.A., no matter how good or bad it was, where the guy ripped his own shirt off.
Yeah.
During the game.
Oh, does he take out another ad in the paper?
Well, maybe he does after this in extra time when they won.
Vucinic has Boateng open on the near side instead, looking for Ibrahimovic. He knew he was offside. He left it alone. Cole picks it up. Cole's cross. Ibrahimovic! Oh, are you serious?
Are you serious?
The header for the win.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on. Are you serious?
That was a great call.
Oh, my God. What a great, just what great theater that was.
Oh, it was. It was. And that place was rocking when he did it, too, both times. So, amazing. Amazing for the Galaxy, for him. You're right, though. I mean, everybody's focused on the Dodgers, but that was the moment of the weekend.
And the thing about it is, granted, he did make kind of a cocky entrance into the market when he took out the ad saying, you're welcome. I got to tell you, I think this is a guy you won't be able to take your eyes off.
Are you serious?
No, I'm serious.
Come on!
You're
going to be a Zlatan watch every game, right?
I have to tell you, if you've not seen it, look it up. Watch what he did. I really believe he did more in his debut for the Galaxy than David Beckham did.
Yes. Yes. Without a doubt.
You know, David Beckham was reserved. They had Steven Gerrard for a while. That didn't pan out. But this guy is completely out of his mind.
Yeah.
He will literally, I think, do anything.
Yeah, he's flamboyant. He's boisterous. He can play, which is at the end of the day is the bottom line, is he's a talented player. But to come out of the gate like this in L.A., I mean, This is why it's Hollywood, because you don't see these things happen all the time.
It was absolutely terrific. Okay, Jason, who wins BJ's today?
I think he had a little bit of a problem, something in his throat. I think we caught him like mid-meal or something, but Tommy in East L.A. got through his call, and it sounded like this.
I was the guy that called in the other day. I was on semi-panic attack with Kershaw, but I'm going to tell you right now, I love the Dodgers. We're going to kick some ass. I'm going to tell you right now, Puig is the monster. we're going to do very well. And you know what? The bottom line here was the Yul Darvish thing. You know what I call him to my buddies? No Bulls Darvish. Okay, bye.
Well, he wins because he survived the call despite calling Yul Darvish Yul Darvish, like the
not to
late
be confused with
Yul Brynner.
Exactly.
Way to go. You've won a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse on Mondays, half off large pizza, $4 Brewhouse margaritas. Wherever you are and whatever you do, there is a BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse near you. Is Shohei Ohtani smarter than all of us? Did he fool every single one of us? We'll get into it next. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete, lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. Don't forget, at 20 after the hour, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000. We want to put a grand in your hand. All you have to do is text in and then answer your phone, and that money could be yours. So please keep listening. Before we get to Ohtani, we were talking about Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And
you're saying that, not me.
Yeah, Ibrahimovic.
Ibrahimovic.
Right. Okay, Kevin, I've got some quotes here. Rodney, I have some quotes. Three of these he actually said. One, he did not.
This will be fun.
All right. So I'm going to give you the quote. You tell me if it's real or fake. The fans were demanding something, and I gave them Zlatan. Is that real or fake?
You got to have like a Slavic accent, Fred. You got to sell this. Yeah,
come on,
right?
Fred.
Come on.
Come on, bring it, Fred.
The fans were demanding something, and I gave them Zlatan. That is the worst ever. What do you think, Kevin, real or fake?
I'm calling real on that.
Rodney.
Yeah, he gave him, he's the third person guy. Yeah, that's real. It's real, boy. It's real.
It's real, boy. It's real. Yesterday, somebody said I was too old and that I said I'm like Benjamin Button. I get younger. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Oh, he actually knows who Benjamin Button is. Yeah, no, it's I'm going real on that one, too. Real.
Yeah, I'm going to double up on that.
They had 99% of the game. It was other 3% that cost them the match. That 3% was Zlatan. Kevin, is that real or fake?
I'm going to say that's real, too.
Real?
I'm going to go fake on that one.
You going fake?
Yeah, I'm going fake on that one.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
All right, last one.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not easy. I can imagine LAFC winning 3-0. But now losing 4-3, it's not easy. But if they had Zlatan, it would be opposite. Rodney, is that real?
That's real. That is real.
I'm calling that real, too. It's real,
boy. It's real. It's real, boy. It's real. Oh, my God. Get ready.
That's going to be fun. He is going to be fun to watch.
Oh, by the way, our intern Sam found this. Of all the Los Angeles player debuts in the history of this town, Magic Johnson scoring 26 in his first game, and then Kareem hit the game winner, and then he just went nuts.
Jumped on Kareem and hugged him. Yeah, dude,
we got 81 of these.
Right, right.
That's the one we could find, but we can't find any like lists.
So Magic went 26 and
26, 5 assists, like 4 steals.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, but he didn't tear his shirt off on the court. No, only the Zlatan did that. By the way, my friend Jay Woodfin, Jay from Compton, he just texted me and he goes, worst accent ever. I love it. Thank you. So unnecessary.
Bull crap.
So unnecessary. Okay. So Ohtani makes his debut pitching yesterday for the Angels. Now, I don't know where this guy was during the spring, but it was a different guy pitching yesterday. His fastball was around 99 miles an hour.
Yes.
He looked good. I mean, yeah, he gave up some runs, but he looked good. They won.
Yeah. No, they won. And what did he give up? Only 3 hits or something like that?
Yeah.
Or 6 innings? No, he looked not only looked good, he looked fierce. It was like it was a different person. I saw a little bit of that game, and And no, he was bringing it. It topped out at 99 a few times, and we did not see that at all during the spring. And we were killing him. We were beating him up all spring long. Oh, this guy's not ready, and he just doesn't look the same. And he's supposed to be the Babe Ruth and all of these things. We're not seeing it. We're not seeing it. Maybe he was just playing possum with us, Fred, and just, hey, wait till the regular season starts. And I'll give you the real stuff.
I think somebody said, and I'm not sure who it was, which, why would I even say it then? But I think somebody said that he did this in Japan. In other words, during spring training.
Mark Gubaza said that.
Is that who said it?
Gubaza said it on the air about a guy named Bass, I want to say, that played with Ohtani in Japan.
Said he did the same thing.
Yeah. Like he was like half speed during the preseason, and then just once the light went on, he caught on.
Kind of like an NBA player. He's kind of like an NBA guy, if that's the case.
Yeah.
Because he looked entirely different yesterday.
No. Everything about him was different. I mean, just, like you said, he looked different. Obviously, he performed differently, but just his mannerisms looked different. And his fierceness looked different. Like he was, okay, now it's real time. And he showed it. But topping off at 99, we didn't see that at all in the spring.
No. And he looked like he was completely in command. I mean, he was in charge, very unlike Yul Darvish.
the encouraging thing is he didn't melt down, which happened to him a lot during the spring. You know, he had that one bad inning where he gave up a couple of hits, then he gave up a 3-run home run.
Yeah.
And then after that, he retired like 14 of the next 15 batters he faced, showed some resiliency that he didn't necessarily show in the spring. So that's encouraging too.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he is the real, and he got a hit over the weekend, right?
He did. His first at-bat.
First at-bat was a hit. So it'll be interesting. When they're home, when the Angels home this week?
Tonight.
Tonight, right?
Against Cleveland.
Oh, that's right. Against Cleveland's in town.
Yeah.
Big time. You know, that place is going to be rocking. I think they can't be happier than him going out and getting his first win.
You know, and they said coming in that there was a sense he was a better pitcher than he was hitter. And the Angels, if they're going to have any success this year at all, were really counting on him in that rotation.
Oh, yeah. Socia said by far he's going to make a bigger impact on this team as a pitcher than a hitter.
Yeah, easily. So, I mean, it's a small sample size. It's one outing.
And it's the A's, too. I mean, we're not talking about murderer's row here.
Yeah, but you know, Yul got beat by Miami.
That's true. Maybe Yul Brynner would have pitched better if he was.
How about the debate we had? You know, we're going back and forth. Oh, he should sit down. We should send him down. And he's not ready and all those things. And all along, you know, the Angels have said, absolutely, he's going to be with the big club. Absolutely. They knew. There was no question he was going to start the season up with the main club.
Can you remember, and Rodney, I mean, when you were in training camp, I don't know, but I don't know of guys that in competitive situations, even in spring training or camp, kind of go half speed. Just kind of, you know, I'm here. I'm just getting through it now. But when the light goes on, then I'm ready to play. I don't think I've heard of that where a guy just kind of phones it in and then all of a sudden is a different guy.
No, I don't. You know, when you're actually in it, you're playing. You're giving it 100%. Now, you know, obviously in football and training camp, you're trying to get in and get out as quickly as possible because you only want to play a series or two so you don't, you know, definitely get hurt. But while you're on the field, you're going. I mean, you're going 100% trying to get it done. So there's no half speed when you're between the lines. So it's interesting that, you know, he wasn't really, I guess, showing everybody everything he had in spring training because he took a beating from us and the press and everybody around about, oh, this guy's not the real deal. And there's a long season, obviously, but to come out and it's one thing to win, but then to come out and, you know, him hitting 99 on the gun, you get the sense that, he was playing with us a little bit.
It's odd because it's something that you would think, like a veteran or someone who's been around the block a little bit in the major leagues, it's more prone that somebody like that would do it as opposed to who's never faced major league hitters before. First time he's been facing against major league batters in a spring training situation, you'd think he'd take it more seriously if that's the case and he didn't have his foot all the way down on the pedal, unless he was just really that confident in his abilities. Like, this doesn't really matter right now.
I'll tell you this. Yeah. If it had been anybody else that had gone through spring like that on the mound, there's no way that guy'd be in the rotation.
No.
There is no way you would have that guy. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
He looked terrible. But boy,
yeah,
he looked good then.
But you're right, Kev. It would be like a Kershaw saying, okay, this spring I'm working on, you know, my 85-mile-an-hour fastball, and I'm going to just spot it and try to work inside, outside, up and down, but I'm not really going to give it, you know, I'm not going to heat it up. during the spring because I want to work more on location from a veteran pitcher. But he rarely, I mean, the guy is just bursting on the scene. Everybody's waiting for him, and he lays an egg in spring training. That's kind of savvy if that is really the case.
All right, let me get to this tweet quickly. Frank Rodriguez just tweeted, hey, Fred, what about Adrian Gonzalez hitting a home run in his first at-bat as a Dodger in 2012? That was a good debut. Yeah, good debut. Good debut. Not good debut. Good debut. But that's fair. I was there. I saw it. Yeah, that was great when Agon hit that home run just acquired from Boston. Still doesn't top a guy ripping his shirt off and running around the field. I mean, Adrian did not tear his jersey off, throw it down, and start flexing.
Yeah, and Adrian didn't necessarily call his pitch either, call his shot, you know what I mean, before he got up to the plate, say, I'm going to hit a home run first time out, whereas this guy took a full-page ad out and said, you're welcome. And after the first game, he could say, and people are saying thank you, right? He's making it true. So that even made it even bigger, I think, the fact that he was cocky about it.
All right, Rodney, let's do this real quick. You know, I think most people know, but if they don't, Sunday nights on the Hallmark Channel is your show, your reality show with your wife, Holly, and the kids called Meet the Peets.
Yes, it is.
All right. They actually shot a segment. Well, they've shot a few segments in here.
Right.
But last night they aired a segment that they really shot in here between the two of us. And we thought we'd let folks hear a little of the interaction from Meet the Peets last night.
Have a good show, gentlemen. Let's go. Have a good show, gentlemen.
Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete. Lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. We are jam-packed today. A lot to get to. Fred's doing great. He's in a great mood today. Doing great, but we don't usually like to talk about our personal business. By the way, this is not some bit we're doing. This is dead serious.
This is dead serious. You heard it here first, Fred. Rodney Peete is doing a juice cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
Holly suggested, because I'm over 50 now, that I change my diet. So I am absolutely, absolutely going for it. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think, no, you're not. I think, no, you're not going for it. And I don't even know why you would sit here and say you were. You can't do it.
I feel like if you're going to do something, you got to radically do it. You know, as I get older and want to be around for my kids as long as possible, I think I'm just trying to make a change for the better, Fred. I was lucky enough to play 16 years in the NFL. So there are a number of things that affected me and my body. Once you retire, you have to figure out a way to stay as healthy as possible. I am a little bit of a carnivore, but that's what makes it interesting and makes it a challenge.
All right.
As you know, you like challenges, so you're saying to me that I can't do it. That makes me even more motivated.
I want a time frame. How long are you gonna go? That's what I wanna know.
Well, now that I've proclaimed it on radio, there's gonna be eyeballs on me wherever I go, but I am committed to this. I don't think they realize how competitive I am. If I put my mind to something, I'm gonna do it.
Dodger fans, 866-987-2570. It's lunch hour for everybody but Rodney.
Oh, look at that steak. I thought I said I was gonna start tomorrow. It's gonna take a lot of willpower for me to do this.
So that was on your reality show last night.
Yeah, it was. It was the sixth episode that is aired on the Hallmark Channel every Sunday night at 7 o'clock here in on the West Coast, 10 o'clock on the East Coast. And, yeah, we shot that scene in here. And you know, we kind of talk about what we're going to do, but then they just let the cameras roll. And I had no idea you were going to order a steak during that time, Fred. It was just kind of rubbing salt into the wounds, buddy.
How's the juice cleanse going?
Juice cleanse is going great.
You're drinking juice.
I am drinking juice, a lot of it. In fact, on that episode, Holly and I had a competition as well, and I happened to find a burger in her car, a burger and fries.
No, so you
she
didn't.
She cheated halfway through. Yeah.
Did she?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she cheated.
See.
And she tried to say it was the kids, and she got it a week ago, but I had the receipt as well, so... You know, a lot of crazy stuff happening on Meet the Peets on Hallmark Channel, Fred.
Every Sunday night, and let me say this, the most amazing part of the clip you just heard, and I actually got to see it this morning, but the most amazing part of it, and I said this to Rodney, it actually sounds like we're doing a real radio show. Who knew?
Right? Who knew?
Who knew? All right, let me ask you a question. Would you bring a knife to a football fight? We'll answer that next. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports.
answer the phone. You may get an unknown number, a blocked number, or somebody you don't like. You can't win if you don't answer the phone. That's why you text in the first place, to win a grand. We can't put a grand in your hand if you don't answer the phone, Fred.
Answer the phone if you text, period. If you don't text, don't answer the phone. But why wouldn't you text for the chance to win $1,000? Now, would you ever bring a gun to a knife fight?
That's what I would bring to a knife fight.
Right. Sounds sharp. Okay. Would you ever bring a knife to a football fight?
No. It doesn't make sense, Fred.
All right. Well, would you ever bring a knife to a football practice?
Not unless I wanted to get arrested that day.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know if you saw this video, but it was making the rounds last night on Twitter. Aaron Donald, Rams defensive lineman. Best defensive lineman in football.
Yes.
Okay.
Some would argue best defensive player in football, best player in football.
All right. So how do you get to be that? Well, some of it is God-given ability. Some of it is very hard work. And some of it is practicing your craft when someone is waving knives at you. His trainer was standing there holding knives in both hands. And Aaron Donald's drill was to be quick enough not to get slashed with the knife as he was slapping the trainer's hands, as if he was trying to keep an offensive lineman off him. Have you ever seen anything like that?
I have never seen anything like it. I've seen guys, you know, practice with martial arts instructors and really to keep the offensive lineman, like you say, off of them, because if the offensive lineman gets their hands on a defensive lineman, it usually he can control them. And so the job of a defensive lineman is to not get, you know, let those offensive linemen get their hands on you. So there's a lot of drills to slap those hands away. And I've seen guys use pads and things like that. But I've never, ever in my life ever seen someone or a trainer have two knives in their hands and try to slash a defensive lineman with them as he's trying to knock him away. And I did see the video, and one of those slashes came very close to hitting him in a bad spot.
It was great.
My goodness.
You know what? Maybe that's why he's so quick off the ball.
Maybe he's thinking knives.
He's thinking knives. He's looking at a guy trying to block him, and he's thinking he's got knives.
Oh, my God. So it makes it real.
Out. Oh, my. Yeah.
That takes it real. He takes it real. So, I mean, I've seen that drill done without the knives, and it can be very effective, and people do it all the time. But why you had to add the knives to it, I don't know.
Back in the day, they did it with an axe, right? When you were playing.
Yes, they did. It's like the movie Dodgeball, when he's throwing, you know, tools and hammers and wrenches at the guys as they're trying to dodge it.
Now, Jack Del Rio brought the axe into a locker room, and it didn't end well. So.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, what
that's
happened
right.
With that?
What happened with the axe? It was chopping wood.
He was trying to use it as a metaphor, and he ended up chopping, like, one of his players, like, hit him in the foot.
Yes. Yes, almost severed the foot off. That's right. Sharp objects do not bring into the locker room or on the playing field.
Oh, God. That's great. All right. So, Josh Rosen, it's funny. When Josh Rosen went to UCLA, he was considered the top quarterback prospect in the country. He was the guy everybody wanted, and he picked UCLA. Well, the more you got to know him and learn about him, the more you understood why some schools didn't want him. I think Stanford didn't want him. And there was something about him. We're not talking about his skill set, but, you know, he's a different kind of guy. He's very intelligent. Very. And, you know, you could argue, well, maybe he's too smart for the position, which is hard to understand because you have to be the smartest person to play the position, to play quarterback, right?
Yes, you do. You should be the smartest player on the field. Absolutely.
Well, you have the most responsibility.
Yes. Yes, you do.
All right. So here's what Jim Mora had to say about Josh Rosen. Josh, I think, without a doubt, is the number one quarterback in the draft. He's a franchise changer. He's got the ability to have an immediate impact. His arm talent, intelligence, and his ability to see the game and diagnose the game is rare. He'd come to the sidelines after a play, and it was uncanny. He could right away say exactly why he made every decision. Mora continues. He needs to be challenged intellectually so he doesn't get bored. He's a millennial. He wants to know why. Millennials, once they know why, they're good. Josh has a lot of interest in life. If you can hold his concentration level and focus only on football for a few years, he will set the world on fire. He has so much ability, and he's really a good kid. Here's what Josh Rosen tweeted back today. So, you know, Jim Moore is saying Josh Rosen needs to know why. He's a millennial. Tell a millennial why and they'll be okay. Here's Josh Rosen, his tweet. Why? Question mark. Hashtag why. He responded to his his coach.
So, yeah. So what Jim Moore is really saying is, for anybody in the NFL, Josh Rosen is going to be a pain in the ass.
Well, he's saying that. That's fair.
Going to be a pain in the ass. He's got a lot of stuff, a lot of interests outside of football, and he's going to be a handful to deal with just to keep his concentration. When a coach, your college coach, says it's going to take a lot, once he has his concentration on football, he can be a pretty good player. Well, people are talking about drafting him number one, two, or three in the draft, and there's a concern from his college coach that he doesn't have the concentration enough to stay on football. It could be a disaster. So it's like a warning.
Yeah, the warning shot fired across the bow.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I think that's true with millennials in that generation. It's not the way it used to be. You can't walk up and say, do this. They're going to ask why. Why should I do it?
And you can't BS them.
No. Why is it important?
We have kids. You know how that goes. You can't just say do it because I said so. That doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, when we were kids, that's the way it was. Do this. Why? Because I said so. Because I know. Yeah. All right? And then you do it. Not anymore. They do want answers to questions, and they want to work in communities. They want to work as teams, in groups. They're not as individualized as people from previous generations, because their priorities are very different, and it speaks to Josh Rosen. As Jim Morris said, he has many interests, if you can just keep him focused on football. But he has many interests, as most millennials do. They're not focused on
one thing.
But
that's a red flag, isn't it? Isn't that a big red flag coming from your head coach? I mean, it's great. You know, you're talking about, if you're talking in general, like a college kid, he should be asking questions, why and why this and why that. But if you're drafting him number one and there's a question of keeping him focused on football, that's a big red flag.
Well, because once you get to whatever your chosen field of endeavor is, your job, your profession, your career, you should be focused on it. Yeah. But then again, I've been at Channel 4 38 years. I mean, you played in the NFL for 16 years.
Yep.
Okay. You know, today, it used to be a badge of honor when you were someplace for a long period of time. And I'm being really honest. You know, there was something romantic about being in a place a long period of time, starting and finishing there. That's not the way it works anymore. Today, people change jobs left and right. There's no badge of honor. There's no medal for being in one place too long. As a matter of fact, if you're in a place too long, the feeling is, what's wrong with you?
Right.
You couldn't go anywhere else? You're just stuck here. It's like I always say, why was I there so long? Nobody else would hire me. But there really was something to be said about longevity and equity in the market. And no longer. Now, guys change on a whim. People quit their jobs, go to do something else. Yeah. It's very different. So I understand his mentality. I get what Moore is saying about Rosen. Then again, if you're getting paid millions of dollars to do something, and it's the most vital position on the field, you ought to be focused enough to do it.
Yeah, and you're talking about, this is not Odell Beckham Jr. This is not a receiver or a defensive back. This is a quarterback. This is your face of your franchise that you're investing in for the next, hopefully, 10 years with this guy. You know, one of the things that Moore said, too, was, look, if I'm Cleveland, got the first pick in the draft, I would take Sam Darnold. That was another thing he said about a week ago, because it's a better fit for Cleveland for Darnold to go there. And now, some people took that as a shot, too, which it could have been. It could have been, look, I don't think he can handle Cleveland. You know, the climate there in Cleveland, the weather. Cleveland's been a losing franchise for years. When things go bad, how can he handle it? So you could take that in a lot of different ways. Or you could take it, hey, Josh Rosen and Jim Moore got together and Josh and told Moore, hey, put it out there that I don't want to be in Cleveland. I'm not a good fit for Cleveland. Maybe they won't draft me. You know, who knows how it goes. But anyway, Moore saying these things about him now that he's gone or getting ready to enter the draft, it's a little sketchy to me.
I agree. By the way, we got to get to Vic here, but I don't know if you have this, Vic. And Rodney, I wanted to mention it earlier. Mm. It is official. The Charlotte Hornets have offered Mitch Kupchak their general manager job. Do you have that in the update?
It's been offered. Mitch is yet to accept it, but it's out there.
Oh, okay. Kevin's got it. We'll talk about it. All right. Good call, bad call. Go ahead, Vic.
Sure.
Come on, Vic.
I am pump Dodgers. Two in a row, y'all.
Love it.
Two in a row.
Wild horse.
Mm. And they've got the Diamondbacks tonight in Arizona. Dodgers on deck with Tim Cates starts at 5:30 after PMS. Now let's determine if it's a good call or a bad call, Kevin.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
All right, Fred, and as you mentioned just a second ago before we got to Vic, yes, the Charlotte Hornets have reportedly offered their general manager job to former Lakers general manager Mitch Kupchak. Mitch, of course, part of the North Carolina connection with Michael Jordan out there, part of the ownership group, or hell, the majority owner of the Charlotte Hornets. And things did not end well, to say the least, for Mitch Kupchak out here with the Lakers in his final tenure. So good call or bad call for the Hornets to be not seriously considering, but basically wanting Mitch Kupchak to be the general manager of their franchise, Fred?
Well, I think for Mitch Kupchak, it's a great call. He should work.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that. My apprehension is this, and Joe Lacob, that owns the Golden State Warriors, says the same thing. It starts from the top down. It's good management that wins you championships and puts together a winning product. And history has shown Michael Jordan has not done a terrific job of operating that franchise in Charlotte. Now, because there's a connection between Kupchak and Jordan, the North Carolina connection, maybe he will give Mitch more leeway. Maybe he will take a step back. But, you know, if you look at the results, they haven't been great since Jordan owned the franchise.
Rodney?
You know what? Initially, I thought bad, but I'm going to go good call on this. I'm going to go good call because, look, there is that North Carolina connection. Mitch Kupchak was a part of a great run with the Lakers. He did some great things with the Lakers. Now, lately, before he was let go, it went south a little bit. But sometimes when guys can step away from it a little bit, they can regroup and rebrand themselves and understand what went wrong. And I think this could be a good call for Charlotte and for Michael Jordan, bringing in a guy that's been on both sides of it and now can sit back and go, okay, these are the good things, these are the things we do now that are right, and I won't repeat the things I did wrong later in my career at the Lakers.
And to that point also, guys, you know, Mitch Kupchak will be the most accomplished general manager that Jordan has hired. He's always been the head man and hired people who didn't have a lot of experience. He'd be the most experienced person he'd hire. Vic, you want to chime in on this?
Mitch was fatigued with the Lakers. It was time that he and Jim bust that whole, you know, ugliness with the front office. I think Mitch was exhausted. He needed time to get away and reflect. And I believe he has now fully cleansed himself. He's pure. He loves hoop. And he's going to do a nice job, you know, with Charlotte. But again, this North Carolina connection, it's really a phantom connection. Mitch has got to get in there, find out what's going on with Charlotte, how to get them to the next level. But it's a great hire by 23, and congratulations to Mitch to get back into the association. He is a hoop maestro.
Well, guys, one of the final death nails for Mitch Kupchak and Jim Buss was the hiring of Mike D'Antoni over Phil Jackson some years ago.
Yeah.
Mike has moved on to greener pastures, I guess, for lack of a better term, at least for him right now. The Houston Rockets have the best record in the NBA. We'll finish with the best record in the NBA regardless of what happens these last five or six games of the season. But D'Antoni was pressed yesterday, especially after the Spurs worked over the Rockets pretty seriously, about whether or not you rest the players or do you want to keep guys in a rhythm and keep them lathered up so they don't get too complacent. And D'Antoni basically said, we have to keep these guys, if they're healthy enough to play, allow them to go out there and play basketball. We built up all this great equity playing well during the regular season. We don't want to lose momentum as we head into the postseason. Good call or bad call for Mike D'Antoni to continue to run out his top guns if they're healthy enough, as opposed to resting them and getting ready for a playoff run, Rodney?
Yeah, I think it's a bad call. I think when you got a chance to rest your guys before the playoff starts, you got to do that. It's been a long season. They had the best record in base. They clinched. That's why you play hard and clinch early enough so you can get some rest at the end. And I always err on the side of guys being fresh once the playoffs start. So, I think it's a bad call to think he's going to play them all the way through to the playoffs and keep on playing.
Fred?
I think it's a good call, but I think it's a good call with some restrictions. In other words, to keep momentum, to keep them fresh. No, you don't trot them out there for 48 minutes, but you give them a couple of minutes here and there just so they stay sharp, stay in shape. I don't think it's a bad call if he does it like that.
Yeah, and he's not going to put guys out there that are injured. Chris Paul didn't play yesterday because I think he's resting a sore hamstring or something of that nature. But if guys are healthy enough to play, I think he's talking about not just doing healthy scratches for the sake of getting guys extra rest. Of course, we have the national championship game going on today in college basketball, and Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, did an interview this past weekend talking, again, one of the most popular topics is whether or not you should pay athletes, specifically basketball and football players. And the quote that he gave during the interview was, if you're going to pay salaries to male athletes, you have to do the same thing for female athletes. Also, the other argument is that if you were just going to pay football and basketball players, the way the athletic departments are going to do that is they're going to eliminate other sports in order to compensate those players. Good call or bad call for Emmert to say that paying football and basketball players would kill other collegiate sports that are non-revenue sports. Fred.
You know, I think it's a realistic call. I do think that.
Okay.
So
I'll say that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's really true. I mean, there's so much money to spend. And it's easy to spend other people's money. There's so much money to spend. And the way they're structuring it to pay guys would have to come out of somewhere. You know, Title IX established women's sports as important as men's. They need to have the right to compete at the collegiate level. Again, it's not the pros. So, yeah, I just think that was real. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I think it was real.
Rodney?
It's a bunch of hogwash. It really was. I mean, you can figure out a way to pay these guys. Look, they're going to make $1 billion over the tournament, right? And all of it is not going back to smaller programs or other sports or women's sports. Some of that's going into the coaches' pockets, the schools' pockets. It's going into profit. So take that money, the guys that make the tournament, there's different ways to do it. It's not a blanket one way to get these guys compensated. And if you say it that way, oh, the other programs are going to get cut. No, they're not. You don't have to cut them. Just don't give that coach a $10 million bonus for making it to the tournament. I mean, there's
I don't know if anybody got a $10 million bonus.
They get bonuses and shoe contracts. How about that? How about some of the shoe contracts go to the other programs as well? Take some out of the coaches' pockets.
Something Emmert did say a couple of weeks ago, he's not totally against the Olympic model where individual athletes will be able to sign certain endorsement deals and they can profit off of their own, but still not profit off of the school and the team's success. So that seems like he's at least willing to bend on that.
But
on that
Sister
situation.
Jean can profit.
Correct. I find it funny, by the way, that everybody knows Sister Jean. How many players from that team do you even, from Loyola Chicago, right, can you even name?
Sister Jean?
Exactly.
That's it.
Right.
Right. Yeah, the General Custer kid.
She was out playing point guard.
Of course she was. Yeah, how many baskets did Sister Jean make?
She was filling it up in the paint.
She was.
I'm sure. All right, we'll move on to some baseball now. Some controversy surrounding the Minnesota Twins and the Baltimore Orioles over the weekend. With one out in the ninth inning, nobody on base, 7-0 game, so it was a blowout. Baltimore catcher Chance Sisko laid down a bunt against a shifted Twins defense, allowing him to reach base with a single. Now, Twins second baseman Brian Dozier had a problem with it. This goes into the category of unwritten rules. Apparently, it's a rule, and you guys can tell me, especially Rodney, you play baseball at a high level, that you don't lay down bunts when you're losing a game in the ninth inning and you're getting blown out. Brian Dozier said that he was not a fan of the move and said that that it wasn't good for baseball, quote-unquote. By the way, they eventually loaded the bases, and Twins actually did hold on to be able to win, and they didn't allow any runs, but the game wasn't over at that point in time. But the Twins basically said that it was a bad move. So good call or bad call for the Twins to be upset over the Orioles bunting for a hit, being down 7 runs in the ninth inning, Rodney.
Hey, if you're going to shift in the ninth inning, then expect a bunt.
Good.
Expect a bunt. If you don't want the guy to bunt or try to get a hit, it's no different than him trying to jack a home run because you bring your 7th reliever in the game. You want him to strike out? No. If you're going to shift your infield, then you can't complain when a guy tries to get a base hit in that situation.
Fred?
Yeah, I think the Twins complaining is a terrible call because I'm not a big fan of these unwritten rules of baseball.
Yeah.
You don't do that. It's wrong. No, it's right. You're competing. There's an opportunity for you to get on base. Guy's got a no-hitter. You can't bunt to break that up. Why? My goal is to get on base. My goal is to try to score a run. I'm just going to lay back. So, as you point out, Rodney, so I shouldn't even swing, basically. It's better if I hit a home run.
Right.
Then I bunt. That makes more sense.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, if you bunt to get on, you're wrong. You hit a home run, you're right. I don't buy it. I think it's a bad call.
Yeah, to Rodney's point, if you're going to be shifting, then that means we're still playing. I kind of equate it back. Remember a couple, I'm sure you remember, Rodney, when USC beat UCLA like 50-0?
Yep.
And USC was kneeling on the ball. I think Pete was still there at the time.
They called timeout.
And they called timeout, so then Pete had him throw a touchdown pass on the next play.
I do.
Hey, if you're still playing, Rick Neuheisel, so are we.
Exactly.
So I'm totally fine with it. And that's good call, bad call.
Good job today, Kev.
There you go, Kev.
Petros and Money are expected. We never know, but they're expected to join us next. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports.